Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Is there more? That's what we have to consider as we turn our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and are looking at these imperatives, these closing imperatives which Paul issues to the church at Corinth, five in number in verses 13 and 14, five strong imperatives, five concise imperatives, five commands, five requirements that the Apostle Paul was issuing to this church, but they are just as applicable to us today as they were to them. And so there are five commands that we are to obey, and the question is, are we obeying them? And what are they? Number one, watch, that is, be alert, stand on guard, be ever looking for the attacks which the enemy is sending our way as he's trying to undermine the truth of the Bible. So number one, watch, and number two, stand fast, that is, defend the truth, not only be on guard against enemies of the truth and attacks upon the truth, but also be prepared to defend against those attacks. When you see those arrows coming, put up the shield and stop them. When you see the army approaching, then gather the troops and oppose the army that is coming to undermine and attack the Word of God. So that's number one and two of these five imperatives, watch and stand fast. But is there more? And as a matter of fact, there is more. And so as we gather together around the Word of God on this Wednesday, July 27, enabled to do this by the gifts of those who help support the teaching of God's Word on this station and help us pay those bills, those radio bills. But as we gather together around the Word of God, we realize there is more. There are five imperatives, and we've only looked at two. So what is the third one? The third one is be brave. Number one, watch. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, be brave. That's the translation, I should say, of my Bible, the New King James Bible. The KJV says, quit you like men. That's one reason why a new translation is helpful, and I would even argue is needed, because hardly anybody today would understand what that means. That's antique language. These are words and phrases that were well understood in the day in which the King James was originally translated, and even, I'm sure, for maybe a couple hundred years thereafter. But that's been, what is it? It's 1611, and here we are at 2022, so we're more than 400 years later, and language changes, it always has, it always will. And so, quit you like men is not very clear to us today, but the New American Standard Bible, I think helpfully, and maybe a little more literally, translates it, act like men. Be alert, stand fast, act like men. But, of course, even that phrase runs into problems in our day because of cultural issues. What do you mean, act like men? Are men the only ones who are brave? Aren't women brave? And so forth. We've got those kind of arguments going on today. And so, to boil it all down, the actual translation would be, act like men, but the meaning would be courageous. And that's how my translation translates it. Watch, stand fast in the faith, and then number three, be brave, or be courageous, or it could mean be mature, stop being childish, act like grown-ups, act like responsible adults, and be brave in the face of anything that would undermine truth and Christian behavior. Now, actually, those two things shouldn't be separated. But we generally do separate them in our minds. We have things in the Bible that we would put in the area of doctrine. The Bible teaches this. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says this is true. The Bible says that is true. And then there are those sections of the Bible that say, because these things are true, this is the way you are to behave. This is the way you are to act. Sometimes the doctrinal section, as we normally call it, goes on for many chapters before you get to any practical application. As, for example, in the book of Romans, which you go nearly 11 chapters with scarcely an imperative. I don't know that I would be prepared to say there are none in the first 11 chapters. There may not be, but I think there probably are one or two here or there. But basically, these are all indicatives explaining what justification is and so forth and so on, all the way through chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then you get to the opening verse of chapter 12, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what is that? That's exhortation toward Christian living. On the basis of this mountain of doctrine about salvation, the most thorough treatment of the full doctrine of salvation to be found anywhere in the Bible is found in the first 11 chapters of Romans. Now, having declared that, and you having declared that you believe that, that you embrace it, that you are committed to it, that you have been saved by this gospel, therefore, there are some instructions, there are some imperatives that pertain to how you ought to live. If you believe these doctrines, then you need to behave in this manner. And we generally, and not erroneously, we generally separate those two as I have just done. I have just pointed out. You've got this kind of teaching in 11 chapters, and then there's a change to a different type of teaching for the next several chapters that says, this is what you should do, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. And this is what Paul has done here in the book of 1 Corinthians that we've been studying. Most of it has been what we would call doctrine. You have asked questions about marriage, so let me give you doctrine, let me give you instruction, information, divine information regarding the topic of marriage. You've asked questions about spiritual gifts, and so I will tell you what God wants you to know about spiritual gifts. That would be chapters 12, 13, 14, and so forth. And then we come to this section at the close of the book in chapter 16 that says, okay, on the basis of this truth, this doctrine that I've given to you in the first 15 chapters, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. And we recognize these as exhortations, or that may be too weak a word, commands to practical Christian living. This is the application that stands upon the shoulders of the doctrine. Now, that's one way of looking at it, and it's a correct way of looking at it, a helpful way of looking at it. But here's another way of looking at it that's also true, and that is that teaching about Christian living is also doctrine. It's just doctrine that is directed to Christian living instead of doctrine that is directed to what you should believe. And yet even there, that distinction is not exactly correct either, because what the Bible tells us about Christian living, we should believe, and then we should put into practice. Some things in the Bible we believe, but that exact truth we can't put into practice. We believe it, and it will have ramifications and implications in our lives, but there's no clear response that says, do this, do that. It says, believe this, believe that. But when we get to the do this and do that, that's doctrine too. That's teaching. The word doctrine simply means teaching. A doctrine is something that the Bible teaches. And so put in that light, we understand that when Paul says, watch, that's doctrine. He's commanding us to watch, but that's teaching. The Bible is teaching us to do that. Stand fast in the faith. That's doctrine. This is something that the Bible is telling us to do. It's teaching. Be brave. Be courageous. Or, if it is better understood, be mature. Stop being childish. Be responsible adults. That would address the problem of cliques that Paul had talked about way back in the beginning of this book, where he talked about those who divided themselves up. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And Paul said, stop it, you're being childish. Now he says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, which could be translated, be mature. And then the next one is, be strong. Now that particular command, the form could be either active or passive, and if it's passive, then it would be saying, be made strong, which then would mean submit yourself to God, who alone can strengthen you. But altogether, the idea is stop compromising truth. Stop being pragmatic. Be strong to stand on the truth of God's word. Ask God to make you strong so that you are able and willing to stand on the truth of God's word. And let, as one of our American idioms says, let the chips fall where they may. We have a great deal of pressure in our day, but they had it in Paul's day as well, to shape the truth to our advantage well-meaningly. We're interested in evangelism, and certain things tend to turn people off. So let's shape things a certain way so that we don't turn people off, because we love them. We're trying to reach them. Right? That's what many people say and think. But if in the process the truth is altered, if it is obscured, as so often happens, even though sometimes people deny that, maybe don't understand that that's what's happening, that's not helpful. The truth itself, the gospel itself, is going to offend. You can't remove the offense of the gospel without changing the gospel. So, be strong. Stand against that temptation and stand for truth. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.